Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Ain't It Scary with Sean and Carrie. I'm the titular Sean.
And I'm the very titular Carrie.
And this is the show that takes you inside the unbelievable, the unexplainable, the macabre, and the bizarre, and tries to find an answer. This week, all we've got, I think all we've got for you is answers, right, Carrie?
Pretty much, yeah. Or at least our guests do.
We are all about Paracon this week. We're all about Paracon this weekend, certainly. but Caroline and I are swamped getting this show together, getting ready for this show this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's our first kind of event out and about with the public.
Yes, our first invited as podcast hosts soiree.
Yeah, exactly. And out meeting and greeting, mingling with the public, selling merch.
One or two fans, maybe.
I would love if there were one or two fans.
Mm-hmm.
But between that and getting everything ready for the next part of our Satanic Panic series, which is a doozy.
Give him a little spoiler.
Well, we're doing, I've mentioned it before. It's going to be the West Memphis 3. Damien Echols, Jesse Miss Kelly, and Jason Baldwin were three teenagers who were sentenced to lives in prison. Damien got the death sentence. Mm-hmm. For the murders of 3 8-year-old boys. The crime is absolutely horrific. And
it's not something you can just slap together. There's a lot of documentary evidence, literally documentaries to watch for this case.
There are 4 well-known documentaries made about this. So it involves watching at least all 4 of those, plus doing whatever additional research I have. So anyway, that's been a doozy of a research project. And we're getting ready for the show. My belated bachelor party snuck in over the weekend.
Okay, well, that's not the audience's fault.
It's been a busy time, is my point. But we have an excellent interview here that we did with Charles Rosenay and Nick Grossman, who are the founders of Paracon. And this turned into a great conversation.
Totally. And just to make sure, in case you've missed an episode here or there, Paracon is Connecticut's first paranormal convention. Think of it as like Comic-Con for ghosts. It's going to be at the Ansonia Armory in Ansonia, Connecticut, which is supposed to be very haunted. We talk about that a bit in the interview.
Yeah, Nick and Charles tell us, but it's very haunted, deeply haunted. So look out for that.
Yeah, so it's going to happen this weekend, July 24th and 25th. It's going to be at the Armory. And, you know, we're just going to be there kind of mingling with everyone. We'll have a little table. But there's also going to be a ton of other stuff going on.
Yeah, you'll hear about some of it in this interview. But if you're interested in the stuff this podcast is about, true crime, but especially ghosts and alien stuff, there's going to be abductees there. There's going to be plenty of ghost investigators. Throw a rock, you hit an investigator or a psychic of some kind.
But please don't.
Oh, yeah, don't throw rocks at these people.
They're already dealing with the constant barrage of spirits.
And certainly if you do wear the merch of another podcast.
Yes, absolutely. There will be a lot of vendors there, so I'm getting my bones together for, you know, decorating the house, of course.
You're talking about your dice? You roll them bones?
Yes, exactly. There's going to be panels. My dad will be there, Paul Ferrante, who you'll remember from our Gettysburg Ghosts episode. I know there's a few Paul stans in our listenership, so you can go meet him too.
Yeah, absolutely. And this interview that we did, we started talking about the con, but we got off on all kinds of things. Nick Grossman is a paranormal investigator of the, like, Zach Bagans mold.
And similar to Zach, he's a sensitive, clairvoyant, he does shamanism.
Yep.
And he's a really interesting guy. And then Charles Rosenay, who's the other co-founder, he's like the showman. He's the enterprising fellow of the duo. And it kind of works out like me and Sean, actually.
Yeah, Charles has made a career of his, like, horror fandom.
Yes.
And he
I'm very jealous of.
Yeah, he takes people on tours to, like, Transylvania to stay in Dracula's castle and that kind of thing. He's owned several haunted houses, you know, spook houses, including Fright Haven in Stratford, which we attended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
couple times.
So Charles is right there in this whole world too, but Nick talks in this podcast about like the ghosts he's seen and stuff.
Yeah, it's very cool. And a lot of this has to do a ton with Connecticut. That's something that me and Sean are really passionate about since we grew up here. We feel like it's kind of overshadowed sometimes by places like Salem or New Orleans. That's just more known for the hauntings and things like that. But there's a ton of history here. And that means there's just a ton of ghosts. So, and a lot of legends, which we talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So sit back, enjoy this conversation, and we'll be back in about, I don't know, 40 minutes or so with some news for you.
Yep. And if you'd like to check out more information about Paracon, you could go to paracon.org. That's paracon.org. And you could also check out paracon.ticketleap.com/paracon. That's with two N's. And that's for tickets. So you'll save a little money if you decide to go.
Yeah, there is free parking. You're going to want to park.
There's some parking there. There's some parking down the street, but it's all very walkable.
Yep.
And yeah, bring your money. Bring a tote bag.
Yeah, there will be food.
And we'll be there if you want to talk about, you know, aliens, ghosts. If you want to debate Sean about the existence of poltergeists.
Or talk about just D&D. Like, we could do that.
Yeah.
We could talk. I saw the Fast 9, the Furious saga. If anybody wants to talk about where it ranks in sort of the fast verse.
The end of the Loki series.
We could talk about Loki. We got all kinds of... Guys, there's a lot going on out there. And the dog is barking, so we'll throw to the interview now.
Okay, we have with us Charles Rosenay of Tours of Terror and Nick Grossman of Ghost Storm Investigations, the founders of Paracon, Connecticut's first ever paranormal convention where you guys can catch us this weekend, as well as a whole bunch of other, frankly, more exciting stuff. So here's a question for both of you, whoever wants to tackle this first. How did you guys kind of get attracted to the paranormal field?
I grew up, I was born a shaman. I was born with access to the supernatural world. When I was younger, I didn't quite know what was actually happening to me. I would see all sorts of spirits, entities, creatures, you name it. I had my first experience actually in my old house in Norwalk. And I remember being 2 or 3 years old. Now, it's very bizarre to actually have a memory this early in age, but I don't know what they were, but you know, there were these white silhouettes staring at me in my bed. No face, no nothing, very shadow-like, but a white glowing light. And fast forward a bit, we moved to another place in Norwalk. Behind us is a convalescent home. Now, we used to play ninjas on the nuns over there. They used to really love us there, but somebody would, you know, pass away like once or twice a week, and we'd behind the bushes and watch them as curious kids come out. And you know, that's when really the spirit stuff started happening. And you know, I really did realize that, you know, spirits as a psychic, they're different from a typical person that's non-psychic. A spirit, we have a certain light that a spirit is attracted to. So many of us psychic people, especially when we're doing paranormal investigations, it actually benefits us with that whole thing. But I often say, like, the spirits are the fish and the psychic is the lure in a supernatural river, if that makes any sense.
It does to me.
So you really had no choice. It kind of just happened.
No choice. You know, if you're born with this calling with shamanism, you have no choice but to accept it, because what happens is it's actually a real phenomenon. It's called shamanic illness. And what happens is that...
one second. That's one thing we can't control is...
The doggy did not like shamanic illness at all.
I'm telling you, he's had some weird reactions.
Your shirt, Charles, is cool, man. I dig that.
Oh, thanks, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been times when he's like barked at nothing and then like a bunch of things fell over right after that for no reason.
Well, you know, dogs and cats are naturally have like an awareness, especially the cats. The cats seem to be more clairvoyant. The dogs seem to be more empathic.
Oh, you know, yeah. This one's real empathic.
They sense when you're sad, angry, happy. Yeah. They could sense that. The cats more really see like the spirits, and spirits don't like cats. Because cats think that they're little toys and they chase them around the house. This is what everybody who has cats and is in a haunted house will say, that cats follow things that aren't there. And spirits don't like cats. And as a matter of fact, in Egypt, they used to use, you know, cats to protect them, you know, from the spirits, you know. So.
Well, they're still so in tune with their instincts, I think, right. Whereas dogs are really in tune with us.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just really interesting to see the difference.
Yeah, but Poe will stare up into an empty corner and just bark for half an hour. That feels like
something. Have a portal there. Maybe a little doorway over there.
I do that too, but I don't know if there's a real reason why I do that. You know?
Just barking at the moon, Charles. Charles, how did you get involved with all this spooky stuff?
So I've been producing tours overseas for quite a while. We do the Dracula tours to Transylvania, where people spend, you know, Halloween night in Dracula's castle. And it's very commercial. It combines the Vlad history with the legend of Dracula and all that. And I've been doing that for many years, and also running haunted houses around, you know, in the area. We originally in West Haven, Connecticut, and then moved it to Stratford. And it's, you know, Connecticut's largest indoor haunted attraction, Fright Haven, which I'm still involved with. And I founded and no longer own. But we also do ghost tours. So all the people who went to the Dracula tours had such a great time. They said, well, can't we do a similar trip to like England? So we did England, and then we did Ireland and Scotland and Prague and Czechoslovakia and Israel and Cuba and Hungary. And we got one coming up to New Orleans in November. So I've always been in the horror field, being first a lover of the horror genre more than the paranormal. And then I've transitioned into this through Nick. You know, he came to visit Fright Haven as just, you know, an attendee, as a guest, as a visitor. And he says, you know, this place is very haunted. I go, duh, yeah, it's a haunted house. We make it that way. And he goes, no, I'm really serious. I'm sensing something. And he tells me about himself, and that, you know, when he goes to a place, if there's something there, an entity, a feeling, and he senses it, and he's the real deal. But I didn't take him seriously until we researched and discovered that the haunted attraction Fright Haven and the parking lot were built over Indian burial ground.
Absolutely.
And like, I was like, whoa.
Poltergeist situation.
They didn't move the bodies.
So the first thing we did together was, you know, an event called Ghost Lab at Fright Haven. Fright Haven happened to have an upstairs mirrored room. And we invited 50 people who all had this shared experience with video, with multimedia, but it ending with Nick doing a scrying session, which I'd never heard about. Mm-hmm. Everyone sits in front of the mirrors, lights go off, candles go on, and people have just the most amazing experiences. People who I never would have ever believed would have had paranormal experiences did. And this, and the, because of the success of that, in not success on many levels, first of all, the fact that it sold out, but more importantly, that people had successful experiences, encounters during the event, we decided we'll take it to the next level. We did trips to Dudleytown and trips to Booth Memorial and Stepney Cemetery, where the Warrens are buried, and all these places. So we've nurtured a relationship where we're the partners. He's the shaman and I'm the showman.
We're a great team, me and this guy right here.
I do the promoting. I'm the huckster. I'm the Ed Warren of this team, and he's the Lorraine Warren.
I'm the Lorraine.
You know, he's the sensitive, and he's, you know, the real deal.
He said that on one of our Dudleytown tours one time to somebody. I remember that was the first time. He was like, I'm the Ed and he's the Lorraine.
and so, guys, Yeah. You know, you say, ain't it scary? Yes, all the things we do, there are scary elements to just about everything Absolutely. We do. And that's the part I love. I love the scary stuff.
Yeah.
Nick's goal is to prove the paranormal. So many people who are paranormal investigators, and I consider myself one now too, are there to prove the opposite, to show right. the scientific end of things, to prove, to dispel it. He proves it. He shows that. You know, stuff happens and it's crazy. That's so right. He always said, I would love to do a paranormal convention. There's not one in Connecticut. Can we do this together? And I said, well, you know what? I've been doing conventions for 4 decades. I produce Beatle conventions, rock conventions, monkeys conventions. I've been involved with horror show. So this is my, you know, flesh and blood. This is what I love to do. And with Nick,
just worked out just perfectly. That was the
perfect
whole thing.
Combination and tandem of two people to put on what we're hoping is going to be like the most amazing event for people who love this stuff.
It's we're going to have a killer turnout. I mean, we got 60 vendors there. We got some awesome paranormal investigators that are well established and well educated in there. We got like Bill Hall going to be talking about his book on Lindsley Street 966, Lindsley Street in Bridgeport.
We did an episode on that topic. And Bill's book was like our main source. So we're actually really excited to meet Bill Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we're really nerding out about it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Bill Hall, very nice guy, very down to earth, very cool guy. Definitely a lot mega experience in the paranormal world, especially because he's connected. He was connected with Ed and Lorraine Warren. And we have all sorts of very interesting elements, not just paranormal investigators coming to this thing. We have psychics. We have horror, you know, enthusiasts. We have paranormal investigators. Anything eerie that is related, somehow tied into paranormal or horror is going to be there.
Nick,
I'm a big horror nut myself, just like Charles. I got.
Yes. Oh, there you go. There's Jason.
Michael Myers.
Michael Myers.
Yes.
Nick, don't we have a guest who was actually abducted by?
Yep, we have this guest, Ralph Leveschi. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but we have a guest. He was actually abducted. The stories this man told blew my mind. This guy has so many stories. One of them, which blew my mind, was he was laying on the couch and there was all these white lights started shining through the windows and these four beings came in and one of the beings just touched him on the arm and he could hear telepathically the voice saying, don't worry, this is just a test. We're going to be taking people with us. We're just testing the right ones out. But he's got all sorts of wild stories about this.
Did they come back and take him later after the test?
He's been abducted, yeah, aboard, you know, whatever, you know, these ships are. But, yeah, you'll have to hear it. This guy's stories, I was fascinated. Honestly, I honestly wanted to write a book about this guy's stories, to be honest. That's how fascinating. I like writing.
I'm hoping they're going to return a visit and pick them up over the weekend. You know?
It would be great timing. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. As long as he doesn't.
You know, the government just announced that UFOs are actually real.
All that disclosure that dropped was amazing. We've been talking about that on the show for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And the armory itself is this cool kind of fort castle-like structure. And it's really, really, really cool. And we did a paranormal investigation there and got all sorts of stuff in there. So, that's definitely haunted. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to ask what did you pick up in the haunted armory? What can we expect?
There's like a shadow. Everybody kept seeing like this shadow being racing around. I actually caught a photo of, actually, I didn't catch it. My guy Hector caught the photo of it, but it's really wild. And it looks like it's like scaling on the wall. It's very wild and all sorts of things happen. We got anomalies flying around. I don't use any old anomaly when it comes to paranormal evidence unless it's impressive. This one was a sphere
Wow.
This one was a spear that flew out. Like, you know, in any haunted place, you're going to get anomalies. But when it comes to video production and making a short film or a documentary, the evidence has to be cutting edge. That's the way I see it.
Absolutely. Do you go to, so Nick, this is what you do. This is what you do. I mean, what kind of equipment are you out there using? Are you getting audio evidence as well?
Well, my guy on my team, Jeff Gary from Connecticut Paranormal and Supernatural Tracking Society, he's an EVP specialist. He's very good at it. My thing is infrared video. That's nice. What I'm in charge of, the video stuff. Charles is more like the skeptic. He's into parafotography. He got some really killer stuff at the Ansonia Opera House, actually.
Yeah,
he got a red orb. He got this red anomaly. And I only see, you know what? I've been doing this for 20 years. I only seen that once at Union Cemetery in Easton.
That's a crazy place. Very we had rare some of thing, our engagement photos there.
Yeah. Yes, we
so
did.
That tells you a little bit about us. Yeah, that's a very intense place.
I wanted to add, we found out after the fact that one of the places we explored in the armory was the firing range, which is in the underbelly, and it's going to be locked up because they're afraid there's too much lead content. We don't really know what the deal is. So they're locking it up, and it's not going to be able to be visited in the future unless they do an incredible cleansing of it. But
we'll tell people it's too haunted. You can't go down there. It's too,
right. It's too haunted. But what we found out after the fact is that a military man used the firing range for his own needs. He wanted to kill himself, and he did. So there was a death down there, mm-hmm. which we didn't know about till after the fact.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it may very well be too haunted in addition to all the lead contamination.
It's a eerie looking building, I'll tell you that. You know, it really is. It's very fascinating. You know, it really does look like Castle. It's got a cannon on the front the front lawn over there too. It's really wild.
If people come, they should definitely do a photo op right on the steps in front of that, the front Absolutely. Of the fort, in front of the armory, because it looks mm-hmm. like an amazing ancient facade.
Yeah.
It's got a great look to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope anyone who listens to this show should be coming to this.
yes, and we know some of our listeners are, so thank you all.
We you know, we cover we cover true crime on this show, and we cover ghosts and aliens.
Oh, anything scary.
So it's really if you like this show, there's no reason you wouldn't make the drive to this this event.
Yeah.
Yep. And the website, our website for Paracon is Paracon. .org, Paracon, like con, Connecticut.org. You get tickets there.
Perfect.
But it's going to be a huge event. I'm very excited about it. We've worked very hard at this. It's going to be good. Trust me. It's going to be
months of planning. Lot of great people involved. I know you guys are going to have, you know, a display there. You're going to be there live. And I think we have some special authors who are coming. Tim McLaughlin of Tell Tales is going to be there, coming from up New England somewhere. And Paul Ferrante, who has written the T.J. Jackson mystery books, is going to be there. You guys might have heard of him once or twice.
He's actually been on the show. Go figure.
Also going to be displaying some paranormal artifacts there too, and I've got videos of them moving around and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, fantastic.
So yeah, I've got a collection of those. I have a museum. It's in storage right now because of COVID, but very shortly I'm going to start doing it again. And now it's in storage, but let me tell you, when I had those things out in exhibit in the museum, there was all I have a ventriloquist dummy that chatters its teeth like it turns its head and breathes. All sorts of crazy stuff happening there. And I slept in there too. I slept in there.
I hope you taped it because that thing
was an adventure. I got a lot of videos of those things. I had to get them out of my house. That's why I started the whole thing. I feel stuff grabbing my feet and all sorts of, it's a long story.
Nick, we're fascinated with shows like Ghost Adventures.
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fanatic.
What do you think is the most accurate or the best one of those shows? Who's really
like
doing it right?
When they did the Skinwalker Cave in like the the Native American tribe had invited them into a forbidden cave where they won't even go in. As a matter of fact, they were escorted by these Native Americans carrying M16 rifles. And Zach Fagan said, what are the rifles for? He said, if I see a skinwalker, I'm going to shoot it. And he said, the guy said, but if it doesn't, if it stays 50 yards away, if it comes within 50 yards, I'm going to shoot it. If it stays, I won't shoot it. But it was very serious. And they got this light flying down the mountain. You know, it's a very, that's skinwalker stuff. I actually have a photo of a skinwalker in Shelton. I got one at a Native American fort.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got, a lot of people are terrified of it.
Yeah, what's really interesting about that is, I mean, I'm on the creepy side of TikTok. And stuff like that, especially stories about Wendigo and skinwalkers, have become so popular among people, you know, millennials or even younger people, because I think it's just easy for people to share their own stories on platforms like that. So I knew about it, but now it's like the typical thing that might come up on TikTok.
That stuff is real. I'll tell you this right now. Nothing sounds weird to me. No questions sound weird. No questions are even funny that people ask me at lectures. You know, I've seen everything now. I've seen, you know, a Native American cryptid appear right next to me in Freetown State Forest, Massachusetts. And that blew my mind. I actually have a photo of it standing right next to me. The thing's been following me ever since.
I need, well, maybe that's
I'll
one
show
more
you the photos.
That's one more. That's one more ticket sold to the con. Hopefully you get that skinwalker in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I need,
we have a really solid team. Like everybody, I've got, you know, two cameramen, including myself. And, you know, I got a, you know, Charles is really good with the, you know, paraphotography. And he's also very extremely logical with it. So if he feels like the evidence is non-paranormal, he's definitely going to voice his opinion, and every group needs that. And then we have Jeff and Diane, who are extremely great at EVP stuff. And, you know, a bunch of psychics on the team too. I call it psychic magnet.
What's interesting is we'll go into a place, the Armory, the Ansonia Opera House is an example. And Nick is saying, oh my God, this place, it's not dead people. It's the opposite. It's alive.
It's alive.
It's alive. And I'm taking pictures where I think he's seeing things. And I'm taking tons and tons of photos, and I'm seeing nothing at all. And then I look afterwards at the phone and the camera, and I had two specters. They look like two Nosferatu specters walking across the room, levitating about 10 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. We had that red orb that he told you about. And then we had a doorway, which was on the far side of the opera house. And it's just an empty doorway. And in two of the shots, there's a black shadow figure in it. And, you know, if I didn't take the pictures myself, I would say, okay, Photoshop or, you know, but it's the real, it's just unbelievable.
Absolutely. You know, I wasn't expecting that place to be that haunted until I got in there. You know, I remember waiting out in the car for everybody, and I'm looking through the window, and I do see that there's one or two spirits, but that's normal for places like that. But when I walked in, it was just a grand finale immediately of all sorts of stuff going down in there. And, you know, we even had a guy faint on us because the energy just hit him. And, you know, it was funny because I was walking with them, and I actually said to my camera guy, I said, dude, there's a spirit energy bothering me. I actually said, I feel like Zach Bagans before he's about to start bugging out. My camera guy started laughing. And all of a sudden, the next minute, the guy collapsed.
Oh, my God.
And we got shadow figures. We got all sorts of stuff in that place. It was very phenomenal and miraculous. And, you know,
it makes sense if you think about it. You know, if people attend a theater in those days, and that's their joy, and maybe once a week or once a month, that was their social life. That was their only social life, probably, besides staying at home. And that, you know, like a town square, or a town village, or a church, you think of all these places that are haunted. It makes sense because spirits might have gone back there to recapture their best times in life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of them are benevolent spirits. You know, people say, ooh, aren't you scared of the ghosts? No, why? Yeah. You know, they're there because you know, they're just, you know, there's no malice, no intentional,
right,
you know, reason for them to disrupt or be mean. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, one or two imps, or there's going to be a few that are maybe have, you know, nefarious thoughts, but that's probably because that's how they were in true life.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when they were alive. But in this case, you know, I people say, aren't you scared to do this? And I mean, you know, no, I think we're safer with these entities than with some people that are walking that's around right. us.
Well, yep. I think that's definitely true.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What do you think makes a place more haunted or more susceptible to haunting?
You know, excuse me just for one moment. Do you mind?
No, I just got to tell
my son to lower it.
But you guys asked Nick about, you know, like the shows and ghost adventures and all that. When we do all our European adventures, our European tours of terror, so to speak, someone by the name of Richard Felix is our co-host, and he was on BBC's Most Haunted.
Oh,
one of the originals.
Yeah, he was one of the originals, and he's still kicking around. He does, you know, he does a weekly podcast just of himself chatting, and people, you know, ask about this and that, and he'll answer live on the spot. But what's great is he says, it's just like me. I don't believe it, but yet it was proved to me. It's that dichotomy of not being a true believer, but yet these experiences happen that you can't just say, oh no, it didn't really happen. You can't deny it.
Yeah. Oh, so Nick, what makes a place more, you were about to say, what you thought might make a place
a lot
more...
of times, you know, well, let's take Connecticut, for instance. You know, this state is one of the most haunted states out there. This is there with Gettysburg and Salem, Massachusetts, and Tombstone, and all those. Connecticut's up there. There was a lot of bloodshed that happened here with the Revolutionary War. I mean, the beaches in Connecticut, there's probably so much bloodshed over there. I know, for instance, I got a bunch of cases in Westport by the beach because they had this huge battle over there with the British, and they killed them all. And there's also, you know, there was actually this one case in Westport where the guy got sent me a video of a shadow being, and this shadow being was raged to running around the house. And honestly, he got beat up by it. We did a lot of spirit cleansings there. Sometimes it takes treatments of spirit cleansings, but you know, it's most ghosts are harmless. Generally, it's the dark entities that are the problem, you know, and most people are not going to call over like a simple ghost or a few ghosts haunting their house, because, you know, they're generally, you know, if you think of it like this, it's very difficult for a spirit to actually do a physical thing to somebody. It's just as difficult for us to be able to move things with our minds. It's possible. It's telekinesis. You got to remember, a spirit has more time on their hands when it comes to that than we do, and they're able to master it. But even then, opening a door a crack, that takes so much energy. These spirits have to harvest that energy for days in order to do that, and then it's gone.
And why
those dark entities? There's probably a 10%, I would say 90% of them are more harmless spirits, and then there are that 10%, which, you know, it's more rare, but there are definitely diabolical spirits, absolutely.
And those are the ones you're probably more likely to get called for.
Well, you get scratched, all sorts of stuff. I mean, we're doing a possession case right now. As a matter of fact, where me, Charles, and the group are filming a documentary right now. We're hoping that it's going to go on Netflix because they sparked interest in the story. But it's about this woman. I can't really say where she's from. I can't say who it is because I have to protect her identity.
Of course.
She got involved somehow with the situation, and she's possessed. We have all sorts of interviews with her, and we even have a video of a white dove zooming across the living room. Nobody saw it. It just happened on video. You could see, nobody noticed it. And when you freeze frame it, it's a white dove, but it's not of the flesh. It's transparent. Like, So, you know, we've been getting evidence at this place. I haven't seen stuff like this happen in all my 20 years. This is definitely a unique case that we're doing, and we're almost finished wrapping it up. Actually, we're going to go to Salem, Massachusetts, August 20th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, August 20th to perform an exorcism in a hotel room, and wow, that's going to be the last of it. I'm hoping it works. You know, and we may have to do multiple exorcisms. It happens. You know, but what we do is we trap the spirit in the bottle. I do hypnosis. I do hypnosis. I'm going to hypnotize her, and then I'm going to ask her, where in her body does she feel that, if there is a physical feeling where the spirit is? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to ask her to open a door and let the spirit out. And I'm going to pull the spirit out of her, you know, shamanically. And then we're going to bind her into the bottle and seal it with wax.
And you've done this before?
I've done it before. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, what do you do? Intense. I have to ask what you do with a spirit bottle.
Bring them to the museum. We offer them. We offer them a safe refuge to come peacefully at first. But this one, I'm not offering it. This is a very dangerous spirit. There's no way I'm offering peace. Come with us. We're gonna have to just force the spirit out of her and into the bottle.
Wow.
You know, she's. It's a long story. I've never experienced anything quite like this. You know, but it's intense. So.
Well, when this doc gets made, count me in. I gotta see this. Absolutely.
Good
sure.
luck.
You guys should come on one of our ghost tours. Me and Charles put on killer ghost tours. They involve dinner, a paranormal lecture, and after that we go walking around in haunted places. It's actually a lot of, it's scary and fun.
We had a last
minute family emergency, but
I remember. Yeah,
we were gonna come to Dudleytown with you guys.
I mean, that's definitely still on our radar because I love doing that stuff, especially.
Me and Charles and Paracon are gonna put on a little lecture about Dudleytown. We're gonna bring that up as a topic. Awesome. I've got a video that I'm gonna show in Dudleytown.
Let's share one story from Dudleytown.
Please. I know which one you're going to share.
Yeah, Nick, yep. Has always told me before I ever went that you walk beyond a certain point, you come into an open field, and then all of a sudden it's like silent. It's like death. Mm-hmm. You won't hear crickets. You won't hear bugs. You won't hear birds. And sure enough, we go into this place, and that's exactly what the case was. No life except for our travelers. Now, mind you, we did 3 trips already to Dudleytown. And on this one, one of the gals is pointing to the other side of just the other side of the forest and points out something. And we have no idea what she's babbling about. Oh, yeah. And she tells us, and afterwards she says, "You saw the other hiker, right?" And what other hiker? The one in the black, all black with the black cowl. Mm-hmm. And the more she says it, and she says the blacked out face, the more she realized that it couldn't have been a hiker. And we said, no, there was no one else there. But that's not the best story. The best story is there was this one guy who was along with his girlfriend, and she was the more paranormaler. She was very much into it, and he wasn't. He was just, you know, one of those non-believers having fun, taking pictures. And all of a sudden, most of the group starts pointing to him.
Yeah.
And, "Why are you pointing to me?" Nick is going, "Oh my God, look at this." The guy's hair, for no reason, just started to stand up in the air.
Yeah.
like there was electromagnetic force pulling his hair up in the air, like he touched a socket and it went
zoop. A balloon.
Everyone took pictures of it because we had to have
proof. We have a picture of it.
We showed him and he could not believe it. He didn't feel it.
It made his whole day.
It made his whole day.
You know what's interesting, I always say when you tell this story, is we're way up in the mountain. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no electricity. Very hard to get a phone signal up there, you know, and all that stuff. I'll never forget it. I mean, Dudleytown, it's, you know, that show Skinwalker Ranch. You know, I always say Dudleytown is another unique place like that. You know, it's definitely some form of interdimensional haunting. It's its own type of deal. It's a very unique place, and it's a great place to do, like, if you want to start it, get into paranormal science. I mean, that definitely, if you want to do a science study, go up there. I mean, that place is the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Just be careful where you go because there's a lot of private property up there.
There's private property. You got to stay on the trail, and you cannot hop off the trail. Once you hop off the trail, that's the association's property.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes. And if you stay on the trail, that's Mohawk State Forest.
Gotcha.
The gray area. But when you go, if you come with me and him know the deal. Like me and him, it's perfectly safe when we
go. He's a real skeptic. Yeah. I mean, as we've mentioned. So I definitely wanted to get him over there and
see if my hair stands on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wondering if your hat just goes. Yes.
And listeners, here's a reminder to go back and listen to our Dudleytown episode and
first two episodes. Oh yeah, Haunted Connecticut
legends and lore. We talked about Dudleytown then. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you a little primer to then go take a ghost tour with Charles and Nick.
Yep. We're planning a melon, a sawmill city road ghost tour in Shelton. So nice. With the melon heads, I'm going to
Dracula Drive.
We're just getting a permit for that. And as soon as we get a permit for it, we're going to do some ghost tours in the woods there.
That's awesome. People love that story.
Yeah.
People who come to Paracon are going to get, you know, the program in the front, and on the back it talks about all the events we do and some of the places we have lined up. But if people want to take a trip with us, they can always email ctparacon, and it's of course the two N's, like it's ctparacon@gmail.com, or they can call in Connecticut 203-795-4737, and we try to do at least one paranormal investigation a month. That's a little tour of terror open to a small group, 10 reservations only, and it's pretty much the deal. Like Nick said, you know, we have a dinner, a pizza, whatever, an orientation, a lecture, and then we do the actual hike or trail or exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Fantastic. Everybody come and meet Charles and Nick and come
you
see us
phantasm.
This weekend.
And you mean phantasm, not
phantasm. Oh yes, yeah, fan, not fantastic. Phantasm. And I just have one more question about the trips, Charles, or are you drawing on the experience you have from all these trips? What's the scariest place somebody could go visit? What's the most haunted place in the world?
A great question. So the most haunted places are the ones that you read about in all the books. In Haunted England, you hear about Borley Place. You know, there's set places that we go to on the trips that are not necessarily
we lost Charles.
okay
I think he'll
Charles,
come
you there. We start this as a science. I mean, I'm definitely, everybody in my group, we're not religious based. We have everybody has their own spiritual belief, but we're more of a science study group than anything, really.
Well, sure.
There's
a lot of scientific equipment involved. Oh, yeah. You've got the infrared camera, you're collecting EVP.
Well, we want to figure out why. We want to figure out what makes it tick. We want to figure out why does salt work on dark entities? Why 3 a.m.? Why does it get cold? You know, we study this stuff, and you know, it's been quite a journey. I'll tell you that much. You know,
well, I look forward to learning at your feet this weekend at Paracon. Oh, good, Charles is back.
There he is.
Welcome back, Charles.
Yes, he went through a portal just there.
The spirits took you for a moment, but you're back.
Oh my gosh, they did not want me to tell this story.
It's too scary. You're revealing too much.
Well, I will tell you, and hopefully they won't get me on this one. We were on the Dracula tour, which I don't portray as a scary trip. It's educational and entertainment. The ghost tours to England, the tours of terror, totally different. Those are there. We go to the scariest places. But on one of the trips early on, it was early 90s, we went to a place that had been a nunnery. It had been a convent. And it also had been an insane asylum that they did a complete $1 million remodeling and made it into this luxury resort.
That's right, layers of horror movie on top
right,
of one
right,
another.
right by a moat, and it was the most beautiful lands. And they told us, if we take a walk, just to stay on the grounds and try to stay out of the basement. But of course, if we're a group of 40 horror fans who are on a Dracula tour, what's the first place we're going to go? It's the basement. Right.
Especially when you tell us not to go there.
Of course, of course. So I would say of the 40, we had a group orientation. We had a welcome dinner, and about 35 of us went to the basement, and 3 or 4 or 5 went to sleep. You know, they were unconscious with jet lag from the trip from the US to Romania. So, you know, we looked in the basement. Oh, this is creepy, blah, blah, blah. Oh, look, there's a sub basement. Can we go? It's locked. So, of course not. And that was cool. You know, the first night in a luxury hotel, but we got to see something creepy. And this is in Bucharest. The next day we're all checking out, and this couple goes, "Whoa, guys, what did you think of the sub-basement?" And the guy at the front desk perks up. His English was very good. He understood that. And he's, what? No, not possible. They go, "Yeah, that doorway to the basement below the basement." And we're listening, and she goes, "We were walking, and it was the longest. It seemed like miles. And in the middle, there was your security guard. Why was he dressed in that ancient, like, military outfit?" Wow. And the doorman goes, the bellhop, the guy who's checking in people and you know, seeing us out, goes, "Wow, you saw him, huh?" And that's all he would say. So when they turned around, they had asked them for directions, and he just kept walking by them. He ignored them like they didn't exist. Well, it turns out he wasn't ignoring them. This was an apparition. This was someone who was left over from who knows what year or what era or what, if he guarded the asylum, if he was someone who was hiding from the nuns. We don't know his history. The hotel knew it. The hotel did not want anyone to know about it. It was a locked door that they somehow walked into. It was unlocked in the middle of the night because they had slept, and they were just exploring in the middle of the night while the rest of us had gone asleep. And this couple had the greatest experience and didn't even know they saw a ghost.
Wow.
Until they told us the next day. And so that's the best of the scary things that have happened on some of our tours. That was completely unexpected. And we would never have guessed that it would have happened on the Dracula tour and not on a ghost tour where we're seeing Jack the Ripper and we're doing all that other stuff.
Right.
Wow, cool. That's wild.
That's a really cool story.
And it's hard not to believe them because they were totally clueless about it. Like, "Oh, yeah, we saw that weird guy." He wouldn't say anything.
That weird guy who just walked by. And they even said when we walked, you know, like 20, 30 feet and turned around because we were going to ask him if we should keep going or come back, he was gone already. So he had vanished. And they just thought, okay, there was another doorway he went out or he walked faster. So you're right. They did not have a clue that they had just seen an entity and a ghost. That's the most amazing story. And I love telling it.
That's amazing. Wow. You know, your security guard, very old garb, walks fast, hard of hearing.
Big seer. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
It's a cool story.
Oh yeah.
So I think we've got a lot of, information here.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to make sure to get in about the show or about Tours of Terror or Ghost Storm? Anything you'd like to?
Yeah, Bill Hall is going to be doing a lecture on Sunday. And that's going to be probably our biggest lecture that we have going. So we're really excited about that. As well as like planning a bunch of ghost tours also. We have an event called Phantoms of the Bijou coming up at September 10th at the Bijou Theater, where I bring the shamanism to the audience. I let them see what I see. I have like this thing I do with the mirror, like Charles said. So it's going to be very interesting, but that's just about it, you know?
So little
got a lot going on. Me and this guy are busy all the time with this stuff.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
You're hustling.
It's been an adventure. Absolutely.
I'm all
about adventure. I'm a Sagittarius. All adventure.
So you're gonna be scrying with the audience right here at the Bijou Theater in Bridgeport.
I'm gonna be setting up a big mirror on stage, and they're gonna focus on my image, and they're gonna start seeing, you know, whoever's coming out of there. I can't promise who's gonna come out, Fantastic. But something will come out.
If it's the Bijou, it might be Milton Berle or Jack Benny. We don't know.
Oh, yeah. That would be an experience for sure. So. Charles, anything you want to add?
Just we really hope to see all your listeners this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It's from 11 to 6 p.m. at the Ansonia Armory in Ansonia, Connecticut. Go visit the website, www.paracon, as Nick said, two N's, like Connecticut, paracon.org, not .com. And we're on Facebook and all the, you know, social media. But come and say hello. You know, I have a new book coming out, which unfortunately, it's a horror book, is not going to be ready this weekend. This was going to be the launch. So I'll come on again with you guys and hopefully talk about that.
Yes,
and
by please.
Then, Nick and I will have a whole lineup of places to go and more experiences to share.
That's right.
It's fantastic.
And also for the fans, Google Paracon Ansonia, because then there's a bunch of articles that they can read from CT Post, New Haven Register, and even Fox 61 covered it. But there's a whole bunch of information on those articles that are pretty cool. So
perfect.
Fantastic. And Nick, you're also at vagaparanormal.com.
Yep, vagaparanormal.com.
Vagaparanormal.com.
I named it that because, you know, I'm a bohemian person and I kind of live that gypsy vagabond unconventional lifestyle.
I love
it. It's been a mission, I'll tell you. It's been cool. What could I say?
That's awesome.
That's fantastic, man.
And I got my brother over here joining me on this mission over there. So with this paranormal thing, it's going to be awesome. Yep.
It's Bond. Vagabond.
Vagabond. That's right.
Charles, you're also at ghosttours.com with one T.
Yeah, it confuses everybody because they go to the other one, ghostours.com or toursofterror.com. Both of those are, yeah. And Drac Tours is also one of our websites, which is dractours.com. So people
Charles
can
is hustling, guys.
Just when you deal with me and him, you're dealing with two huge Renaissance men here. I mean, we're arts, paranormal, ghost tours, theater, you name it. We juggle it around somehow. We get it going.
I love it. When Charles isn't hunting ghosts, he's just squatting domains, just as many domains as I can grab in case it's a business someday. I love it.
Smart thing to do.
That's amazing, guys.
Right, and catch both Nick and Charles and us this weekend at Paracon in Ansonia, Connecticut, and at paracon.org. That's paracon.org.
That's right. And the tickets are on sale there now. They have been for a while, and they're a little more expensive at the show. So do buy them in advance.
Reasonable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this thing's a steal at any price. But I think $15 even at the door. Is that right?
It's 15 in, 15 in advance, 20 at the door.
20 at the door. It's an amazing buy, guys. Frankly, just seeing my wife's smiling face is worth all the money.
Oh
wow.
Ain't it not scary at all?
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Bright blessing. Big namaste for everybody. Big shalom.
Bless
big,
me.
Big love for everybody.
Let's take a trip to Poe's Cryptid Corner.
Oh, look at the little guy. Just look at the little guy. He's so excited.
Straight out of Ashland County, Ohio, we have reports of the second Bigfoot sighting in the area just this year.
Wow. He's stepping out, huh, Mr. Foot?
Well, that's what he does with those big feet. The Richland Source reports that a 51-year-old Ashland County resident with over 20 years law enforcement experience reported a Sasquatch sighting on June 9th that he simply couldn't explain away.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this 51-year-old resident was the Bigfoot. They say they've identified the Bigfoot as a 51-year-old.
No. His report was filed July 6th with the so-called National Sasquatch Guru and Finding Bigfoot star Matthew Moneymaker.
So I was going to say, how do you get the job of National Bigfoot Guru? Oh, he's the star of a reality television show about Bigfoots.
Mm-hmm. And he also has the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization.
Oh, and he's in those beef jerky commercials where he's messing with Sasquatch.
Exactly. Him and his beef row. Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, BFRO.
BFRO?
BFRO.
Now that sounds like an afro made of beef jerky, so this plays right in.
Included in the report were details of the sighting, which occurred after a rainstorm the afternoon of June 9th. The man, who is unnamed in the story, was riding on his riding mower when he saw something near the tree line next to a recently planted soybean field about 250 yards away. It was a large, dark figure walking upright before disappearing into another wooded area.
Okay, so convince me it wasn't a black bear.
The whole time I was thinking, no one is going to believe me, he told the source. Later, he found and photographed two large impressions close to a nearby creek that might just be footprints, including toe indentations.
Might just be footprints?
Just might be footprints. Should I say it again?
No. I wasn't correcting you.
I mixed it up.
No, I just mean they might just be footprints or what they like. They have some dots
just
at the top.
Just might be footprints. Matthew Moneymaker said of the sighting, quote, he could see the figure, see its color, see it walking upright, and see how fast it was moving. It's difficult to say at that distance if what you are seeing is covered in fur or not. This sighting comes after another in late April of this year by a woman who reported spotting a grayish figure around midnight near a 24-hour gym.
Well, this is just, at least this Bigfoot's keeping active.
This creature, which she alleged was 7 or 8 feet tall and covered in gray fur, escaped into the woods 30 yards away. Perhaps this Squatch is the same one spotted June 9th, and Ashland County has its very own hometown Bigfoot.
Do you think the Bigfoot and the Sasquatch are one and the same?
Yes.
You use those terms interchangeably.
This article did as well. I think most people do. Like a skunk ape, I think, is different.
Oh, see, I feel like a skunk ape is Bigfoot.
This one feels smellier.
Okay. If you say so.
I do. That's it for this episode of Ain't It Scary with Sean and Carrie. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Ain't It Scary, and check out our website at ain'titscary.com. You can support the show by supporting our sponsors and becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/ain'titscary. And please subscribe to the show and throw us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll be forever grateful.
Yeah, Patreon's fun. You can throw us a buck and just tell us that you like us. You don't have to do any of this, by the way. This is a free show. But if you kick in a little more, we've got some little bonus content that comes out every month. And we're working on a whole lot more of that. So if you want to hear what we're doing on these mini-sodes, we've got some great stories there that they might fit into your schedule better, frankly. They don't take up quite as much time as our deep dive kind of main episodes do. Come on over. And special thanks to our top-tier patrons, Nate Curtis, Sean O'Donnell, Jared Chamberlain, Maria Ferrante, Robin McCabe, Comfy Mike, Alex Nakutis, and Ryan Regan. We love you guys.
Don't forget to join us at Paracon if you're local this weekend. You can find more information at paracon.org, paracon.org. And yeah, join our Patreon because we'll be also putting up some Paracon footage, fun stuff that we do at the convention, all that stuff if you can't make it. But we hope to see you there.
Yeah, we'll be doing little mini interviews and bits all over.
Always doing bits.
All over Paracon. We're always doing bits. So yeah, join us on Patreon.
See you next Thursday.
Show created by Sean McCabe and Carrie McCabe. Music by Kyle Ryan. And you can find Kyle over at his YouTube channel, Music is a Verb.
This has been a production of Long Boy Media.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.